I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's another beautiful day to be alive. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q and on the radio and radio.com. And happy President's Day.
Ew. I just wasn't prepared for that.
Either you're working or you're not working. I don't know. I feel like people are split 50-50. I've been getting a lot of emails and work calls. I'm actually very surprised.
And let me clarify my ew. First of all, I love my president, Barack Obama. He's amazing. He's been doing such a great and phenomenal job. So yes, happy President's Day to him and only him. And, you know, maybe a Bill Clinton if you really want to drop him in there somewhere. I don't really know where he fits, but there you go.
There you go. Okay, so
President and Kamala Harris.
Oh wow, you're already going there.
Well, I don't know. But I feel like it's gonna happen. So I'm giving my moment.
You're manifesting.
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm manifesting.
Okay, well, we are over our sickness. We are over the colds here in this studio. So we've got the energy. We're bringing in this Monday.
Yes, yes.
A lot of great stuff happening on the show today and this week.
I feel like it's a very well-informed show today. It's gonna be a very well-informed show.
Yes. You have a lot to look forward to, a lot of information, entertainment. And, you know, also just fun opinions on what's happening.
Yeah.
We have a lot of experts joining us as well.
For
okay.
Sure.
Right now, let's start off with what's trending in the news. Several states are joining a California lawsuit against Trump's border emergency declaration. So this is an interesting thing. The states include New Mexico, Oregon, Minnesota, New Jersey, Hawaii, and Connecticut. California Attorney General Xavier Becerra and Governor Gavin Newsom have already announced plans to sue President Trump over the emergency declaration. We, of course, reported about this last week on the show. Becerra said yesterday that a lawsuit from the state was imminent. Quote, we are prepared. We knew something like this might happen. We are ready to go. So he told that to ABC's This Week yesterday. Can you believe that? It's happening.
And I actually believe this is California's 46th lawsuit against this administration and President Trump. So they are, you know, California is not playing any games at all. And I think because it's a lot of things that are obviously happening that I feel like everyone is just sitting around like, how are we allowing this to happen? And if we can do our, you know, and use our rights legally, how can we do it? And it's awesome that we have these other states that are included that are wanting to also join this fight of just, you know, human rights and just be there and show why America is America in some way.
Well, more what's trending in the news, top of the hour, right here on Let's Go There. So stay tuned for that. A quick rundown of what to expect on today's show. We are diving into the Jussie Smollett attack and the latest coming out of the case with our news, legal, and psychology experts. I said we were bringing on experts, and we are. A lot of different views on that story. Our cue of the day, our question of the day, whose side are you on? Do you believe Jussie as the victim or that he staged his own attack? The story continues to get crazier and crazier, so we're definitely breaking it down during the show. And you can give us a call throughout the show. 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-772-2557. We also have special guest Tian joining us, who is a singer-songwriter who we met at the Palm Springs Pride.
She's absolutely phenomenal, and she's gorgeous. And her music, after 4 years of not having released music, she is coming here to like play a little bit of her new single.
Love it. That would be a nice break in this crazy story that
it's
we have.
Cool.
Our Let's Go There topic of the day, is money more important than integrity? So
That's a deep one. That's a deep one. And that's kind of stemming from a clip that went viral from Steve Harvey and Monique, and they were kind of going back at it, and there was just a conversation about money and integrity that we will be diving into.
Exactly. Well, are you confused on all the details coming out of this Jussie Smollett investigation? We're being joined by the director of culture and entertainment, Travell Anderson, coming up in What's Trending in the News after this. So the latest news coming out of the Jussie Smollett investigation has a lot of people confused on where to stand.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of this country and whoever's following it outside of America.
I mean, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, specifically the community, I feel like we are just trying to figure out where do we go from here? Is he lying? Is he telling the truth? Like, what's happening?
So, yeah, is Jussie Smollett lying or telling the truth? And here's what he actually had to say on Good Morning America Thursday.
You know, at first it was a thing of like, listen, if I tell the truth, then that's it, because it's the truth. Then it became a thing of like, oh, how can you doubt that? Like, how do you not believe that? It's the truth. And then it became a thing of like, oh, it's not necessarily that you don't believe that this is the truth. You don't even want to see the truth.
All right, that was Jussie Smollett on Good Morning America Thursday. Well, a lot has happened since then over the weekend that has come out from the investigation and many anonymous sources, including from the Chicago Police Department. Joining us to help us break down the timeline and what the latest news is coming out of the story, Travell Anderson from Out Magazine. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi. So we're trying to understand what is happening here. Right now, there's been some news coming out of CBS Chicago from unnamed police sources saying that this January 22nd letter threatening Jussie didn't get him enough attention, and that's when he decided to stage this attack. What do you think about this latest report?
My gut as a journalist is to be skeptical of any unnamed anonymous sources.
Exactly.
My gut.
Yeah.
However, what we have, I do believe generally, you know, uplifting local reporting over, say, a TMZ type of report, right?
Yeah.
What we know is that we don't know a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that has come out has come from an unnamed, unconfirmed, anonymous source, allegedly within the Chicago Police Department. And a lot of these narratives that we're seeing are kind of conflicting and just causing more confusion.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of been the issue for me, especially I just feel like there are so many chatty Cathys up in the police department these days. Who knew? It's very alarming to me to hear about these police, you know, anonymous sources. Like, where does that even come from? Because a lot of times you don't hear that.
I think it's also one thing to keep in mind that this particular police department doesn't necessarily have the best track record when it comes to dealing with communities of color and queer communities. And while that is not necessarily a reason to not believe these alleged sources, it is something that should just be, you know, kept in the back of everyone's mind.
Yeah, yeah. And that was also one thing that I felt like a lot of people were kind of just over, like, not even paying attention to with that, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where we as a society, we have these systems, we have law enforcement, and we say that law enforcement is supposed to protect us and that we're supposed to believe law enforcement. But, you know, if you read the original police report, Jussie Smollett didn't even want to report the alleged attack to police. It was Frank Gaston, who was at his house, who encouraged him to report it to police. And now we see kind of the fallout of, you know, all of this, where basically many people feel as if he's lying at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Travell Anderson again, Director of Culture and Entertainment at Out Magazine, joining us right now to break down the latest from the Jussie Smollett investigation. Now, that was something interesting as I'm looking at both sides. The fact that he didn't want to call the police makes me think that he knew that there were holes in the case if he did do this.
No, but
so,
I think
that's something interesting. And the fact that he didn't give up his phone right away, which I get it. Like, I get why you wouldn't want to do that. And now his lawyers don't want to meet with the Chicago police for this interview. They want to do another interview with him based on the fact that they have these two brothers that came out and said that Jussie Smollett paid them to, you know, to do this whole thing. What are your thoughts? And I guess, like, what's the latest? Like, can you break down this timeline? Because there's so many random facts, it's hard to keep track with everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to note the things that have come from Jussie himself and Jussie's team, and the variety of things that have either bubbled up on social media or been, you know, filtered through media via these unconfirmed, unnamed sources.
Yeah.
So the only thing that we know from Jussie himself, based on the original police report and based on his interview with Robin Roberts, is that he says an attack happened at 2 a.m. He says that he, you know, heard racial and homophobic slurs. and that bleach was poured on him and that a noose was wrapped around his head. Those are kind of the really only details that we know for sure. There have been leaks from the police department that say allegedly that the two guys who were said to attack Jussie Smollett were paid allegedly $3,500 from Jussie to stage the attack, that they practiced the attack. They chose the specific location, that they had conversations about how tough the tussle should be, and that these two guys were also responsible for the letter that was sent to the studio where Empire is being filmed that said that, you know, something to the effect of like black fag must die, right? Both of these situations up to this point are still being investigated separately, according to the FBI, but there's a lot of conflation taking place, right? One thing that I do want to put out there, a lot of people have been saying that the original story said that the assailants were white and that now since the two brothers are Nigerian, he must be lying. To be clear, Jussie Smollett never said that the assailants were white.
Oh,
he did
okay.
say, he never said that. That was something that I think people made the assumption.
Because of MAGA country.
Comment about MAGA.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so a number of people just assumed it would be white people. But even, I mean, if we're going to believe some of these unconfirmed sources from, you know, some of the local reporting, they say that it was orchestrated with Jussie for them to not only say, you know, race-related things, but to also say the homophobic things. And so it's just a whole ball of confusion.
Yeah.
It's uncertain. I imagine that we will get some details tomorrow once, you know, we're off of the holiday.
So, but what are your thoughts with him not wanting necessarily to have a follow-up interview and this whole cell phone thing? Why not make it easy to work with the authorities? Even though I know we know the Chicago Police Department has had a bad background in terms of being sketchy and everything.
Well, I do think that one thing to remember is on the record sources from the Chicago Police Department have consistently said that Jussie Smollett and his team have been cooperative.
Okay.
The police have not officially, right, said any of this. It's been unconfirmed sources that have said that Jussie Smollett does not, that there was supposed to be a meeting, right, today on Monday, that Jussie Smollett and his team were not going to meet with him. But Jussie's lawyers released a statement earlier today basically saying that there was never any intentions, there was never any plan to have a meeting today, which makes sense to me because it is President's Day. It's a federal holiday, right? And so I think, again, it's just we're getting these leaks that don't necessarily match up with the bits of official statements. And so ultimately what it comes down to is we need the police to say something one way or another about all of this. One thing that is interesting is that the two guys were detained. They were released without charges, and the police did officially say that whatever these guys told them changed the trajectory of their investigation.
Definitely. I want to say what I think right now from hearing that, but I don't know if I should. I feel like the two brothers, that they possibly did it, and now they're putting it on Jussie because they all wanted to get back to Jussie for something. There could be that, I don't know, that theory. There's so many theories here. It's hard to know what to think. Okay, well.
There's so many theories, so many.
Yeah, Travell Anderson, thank you so much again for joining us from Out Magazine, Director of Culture and Entertainment. Travell has a great op-ed out that you should read. I believe Jussie Smollett, you should too. And so definitely check that out right now at out.com. Joining us right now, we've got a public defender lawyer, Eliza Orlins. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we wanted to get the legal side of everything happening here. We, of course, spoke to a reporter. We'll be talking to a psychologist. But the legal implications of all of this, with new information and evidence evolving in this case, what are those implications that it can have against him if the news is confirmed that the situation was an entire hoax?
Yeah, absolutely. So false reporting of a crime or filing a false police report is actually something that's considered a felony, a class 4 felony in the state of Illinois. So it used to be a misdemeanor, but in fact, they actually changed the law recently to protect first responders, et cetera, because they didn't want people making false police reports. And it's now a felony charge, class 4 felony, you know, facing a prison sentence of potentially up to 1 to 3 years.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
It's no joke.
Yeah, I know. It seems like it. Well, there's a clip from Good Morning America of him talking about not wanting to give authorities his cell phone, which brings us to our next question. And actually, let's play that now.
We had to give the phone records, which they didn't originally ask for my phone records. They asked for my phone. They wanted me to give my phone to the tech for 3 to 4 hours. I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna do that.
Why?
Because I have private pictures and videos and numbers, my partner's number, my family's number, my castmate's number, my friend's numbers, my private emails, my private songs, my private voice memos. I don't know what that's gonna be to hand over my phone for, and honestly, by then, inaccurate, false statements had already been put out there.
All right, that was Jussie Smollett on Good Morning America. So if you were his lawyer, would you have said that that was the right move? Because I feel like that started to create holes in the case, or like he was holding something back.
Listen, I tell everyone that my advice as a public defender, as someone who has handled criminal cases for the last decade, is do not ever allow the police to search your phone.
Oh.
Don't ever consent to the search of your phone. What he's saying is completely reasonable in that regard. I have actually, you know, a sticker on the back of my phone case that says, I do not consent to the search of this device, and I recommend other people to do the same, because, you know, that's giving them unadulterated access to everything in your phone, as he said, to emails, to phone numbers, to private photographs, to literally all the data that's in his cellular telephone. There are ways to triangulate, you know, his cell site data. So from his records, from a subpoena, they could get his location, you know, geo-tracking, if that was relevant to the case. But to hand over your phone and just allow them to take all of the data, to extract everything that's on your phone, 100%, if I were his lawyer, I would tell him to do the same thing.
Interesting. That was something that we kept on debating here in the studio. Like, that made him more, I guess, vulnerable, or, like, it made it seem like he was hiding something.
Well, it certainly does. You know, that's the same with people when they invoke their right to remain silent. You know, you have a constitutional right to remain silent, but if you don't speak up in your own defense, people do often assume the worst. But, you know, you have a right to privacy, and I certainly advocate for people to you know, not incriminate themselves in any way. So I don't know what's on his phone, but to hand it over to the police is certainly not something I would tell any of my clients to do.
So the newest reports are saying that this case is now going to be taken to grand jury. What does that mean exactly? And is this something that Jussie's team would want to happen?
So I think the reports you're referring to say that that the case is going to be taken to the grand jury, meaning they might be presenting it to the grand jury on a false reporting of a crime against Jussie. Is that?
That report actually came from TMZ,
right?
Which wow.
We're not sure of the veracity of that report,
right?
Obviously, but
so if it was taken to a grand jury, that means that at this point, even though the police have said that they're not, he's still a victim in this, right? But at that point, he would be looked at as someone who was more of the perpetrator.
Correct. So when they're considering bringing a case to a grand jury against someone, that person becomes the defendant in the case. So the grand jury is who determines whether a person should be charged or prosecuted for a criminal act. And a grand jury is usually made up of about 12 to 23 people, and they're the ones who investigate the criminal conduct. And the prosecutors would present evidence to the grand jury. And the standard is very low in a grand jury. It's just, is there probable cause to believe the person has committed an offense? So, you know, maybe you've heard the famous saying, like, a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich. You know, it's a low standard. It's like you could have one witness come in, you know, and it sounds like they're calling on these two brothers to potentially testify against Jussie. So is it good for him? Would his team want this to happen? Absolutely not. No. Presenting a case to a grand jury against him means the prosecutors think that they can get a criminal indictment against him, and then he'd be facing felony charges in the state of Illinois.
Wow. Public defender and lawyer Eliza Orlins, again, joining us to discuss the latest from the Jussie Smollett case. Also, you know, his lawyer said that they didn't want to meet again with Chicago police today. Of course, it's a federal holiday, which we discussed. But why would that decision happen, once again, wouldn't it be better to meet with the lawyers and do what the authorities want at this point?
Well, so, you know, if I have, if the authorities want to meet with my client and they want to interrogate that person, and at this point, the reports are out, whether or not they're true, the reports are out that they're considering bringing felony charges against Jesse. So if they're considering that, then why would he want to go in and give them any statements, give them further statements? You know, he's already made statements. Even if there are any little inconsistencies, they'll certainly use those against him. So even if he was, you know, untruthful or mistaken about small things that happened, to come in and make a second statement when he's already made statements both to the police and publicly that he might contradict himself, you know, I think it is a smart move on the part of his defense team to not incriminate himself in any way.
Yeah, especially with, I think there's also been in question, like, the credibility of the Chicago police from these anonymous, like, police secret sources, and obviously past cases that some people would look at the Chicago Police Department and say, I don't know if we necessarily believe them. Now, how do you think people should be navigating what's true or false in this case?
Well, so I think it's obviously really, really hard to navigate, you know, and that's why I often encourage, you know, the media covers stories, and often criminal defendants are vilified before the information is really, you know, before the case has been investigated, just at the very early stages when people don't know what has happened. So I think that, you know, people with the biggest microphones should probably take pause and wait for more facts to come through, especially when there seem to be conflicting narratives, and especially because, you know, in a case where there is potentially a false accusation, you know, it's bound to be amped up by the right to pretend we live in this post-racial society and this isn't something that we're dealing with. It, of course, it is something that we're dealing with, racism, homophobia. You know, this exists. But even people who are well-meaning, I think everyone should just kind of wait until there's more information, until there are more facts. And, you know, it's, police are not infallible. Human beings are not infallible. Mm. Everybody, you know, and so it's very important just to navigate this in a cautious way and not jump to conclusions.
Definitely. Eliza Orlins, thank you so much again for joining us today. We are continuing with all things Jesse Smollett today on the show, and our afternoon tea does that as well. So what is the tea, Ryan?
Yes, honey. So celebrities and politicians are reacting to new developments regarding Jesse Smollett's alleged attack last month. So since these new developments, of course, and we've been tackling these since the start of the show, in the case, most celebrities have remained silent. However, we have seen Nancy Pelosi, she actually deleted a tweet saying the attack on the actor was an informant to humanity, and after allegations that the Empire star staged homophobic and racist attacks to save his job. So basically, this is the original tweet of that she tweeted and deleted, as we seen. The racist and homophobic attack on Jesse Smollett, is an affront to our humanity, and no one should be attacked for who they are or whom they love. I pray that Jesse has a speedy recovery and that justice is served. May we all commit to ending this hate once and for all. And so now people notice, now with these new developments, that she deleted that tweet. And also, you know, other people are being questioned. Senator Cory Booker was actually asked about this situation, and here's his response.
Information is still coming out. I'm going to withhold until all the information actually comes out from on-the-record sources. We know in America that bigoted and biased attacks are on the rise in a serious way. And we actually even know in this country that since 9/11, the majority of the terrorist attacks on our soil have been right-wing terrorist attacks, the majority of them white supremacist attacks, from the horrific shootings in Pittsburgh or in South Carolina church. What we're seeing is attacks on people because they're different, and we all need to join together and condemn those attacks and the hatred and the bigotry that sources them.
So when this initially came out, of course, we were all very vocal about it, you know? We were like, this is ridiculous, we feel unsafe, and mm-hmm. I most definitely had thoughts and opinions that I had no problem with speaking about. And now that I've been getting so many tweets from people that are actually quote-tweeting my tweet from maybe a couple days ago, because I said, I don't understand why people aren't believing him. It's kind of like goes with this whole thing, why aren't people believing victims? And so many replies to that tweet have been, oh, what do you have to say now, Ryan? What do you have to say? And so I understand why Nancy Pelosi deleted those tweet, like deleted her tweet, because people are probably questioning her and say, oh, well, do you feel stupid now? It's this I told you so mentality that I feel like, and I even said this on Twitter, I was like, this I told you so mentality is the reason why victims don't speak.
Totally.
Because guess what? At this point in time, we don't have any proof that is actually saying he has, you know, he's lied. And even Al Sharpton, he actually said, basically, he was like, I think if this all comes out and this does happen, which I totally agree, he should be forced to be held accountable to the maximum. Here's the clip.
If it is found that Smollett and these gentlemen did in some way perpetrate something that is not true, they ought to face accountability to the maximum.
Which is very true. I think we're allowed to still believe the victim, but if evidence actually comes forth and says, all right, this guy is clearly something's not right upstairs and he's just staged this entire thing, he needs to be forced to face the consequences.
Which I don't even know what those are besides being just publicly humiliated and canceled and dragged by everyone. The issue with this happening and where we're at right now in terms of the country is this narrative of who to believe, and there's also the race narrative and also the fact that those in the LGBTQ plus community do go through obviously huge hate crimes. And so when you're bringing all that into this, it's not so simple anymore.
It's not that simple at all. And actually, that kind of goes with what Cardi B was saying, which is actually quite funny in this very sad and confused moment. Here's the clip.
I'm really disappointed in him. I feel like he fucked up Black History Month, bro. I'm not going to say yet. And so he said out his mouth that it was fake and this shit was staged. I don't want to completely blame him, because, you know, like somebody that I was talking to, they said, like, you know, police in Chicago are racist. So they might probably trying to frame him and make him look like he's a liar. But if he's not, then, bro, you fucked up for real. Like, why would you do that? Like, you ain't had to do that. Then you gave fucking Donald Trump immunity to fucking laugh.
I mean, she should run for something.
Cardi B, late at night on Instagram Live, eating whatever she was eating, like a salad or something, and just giving her hot take on this topic. I mean, it's very sad, and I really agree with her. But if you want to find out more information on this and other celebrity reactions, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com and make sure to favorite us on the Radio.com app.
So what's trending in the news is at the top of the hour, the latest on the Jussie Smollett investigation. And Malia Obama has a secret Facebook account. And you would never guess, or maybe you would, what she's posting there. I'm Shira.
And I'm Ryan.
And you're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on the radio and radio.com. Now we are getting into what's trending in the news. Top of the hour. More coming out from Chicago on the Jussie Smollett attack. CBS Chicago is citing unnamed police sources that the January 22nd letter Fox's Empire received threatening Smollett did not get enough attention, and that was the motive behind the attack. The studio would not confirm that the letter was legitimate. It was also reported at the time that Fox gave Smollett extra security after receiving the letter, but that he turned it down. According to Jussie's lawyers, he has no plans to meet with the Chicago Police Department, and any news reports suggesting otherwise are inaccurate. More updates on what's trending in the news, top of the hour, including details from the brothers who told law enforcement they rehearsed the attack with Jussie. Now continuing with what's trending in the news, right now, Malia Obama has a secret Facebook account, while former President Barack Obama's daughter has been busy studying at Harvard University. She's also been posting anti-Trump messages on her Facebook page.
Like, same. I am too.
Exactly. According to Daily Mail, the account was used during Obama's last year of high school and her gap year. It operates, as you would imagine, under a pseudonym. There's the usual pictures of friends. But what caught a lot of people's attention was an image that included post-it notes saying, quote, Donald Trump is president. This is not normal. Donald Trump is evil. Don't be complacent.
Now, it didn't say if this was her house or not. It was just a Facebook image. But honestly, she's just like every other 20-year-old, you know, person right now that has an opinion on politics and, you know, drinks rosé.
Oh, yes.
I didn't really understand why, you know, her quote unquote, you know, Finsta was at the top of headlines today. Like, oh no, she does not like Donald Trump. Duh. Her parents don't even like Donald Trump.
I don't know if I'm more impressed by the fact that she posts all this stuff or by the fact that she's still on Facebook.
Honestly. And like they said, it was her last year of high school. So she probably hasn't even used it in forever because guess what? Her mom is on there and she understands that if my relatives are on there, I'm not dealing with it.
You know what they say? Celebs, they're just like all of us. Now we could say presidential daughters, they're just like all of us.
I mean, my thing is the real like things that people should be talking about is Malia needing to find new friends because clearly her friends are snitches and they're always talking about her or always like reporting something about her to the press. And I would just reevaluate my friend group because clearly there's people around her that are not having her best interest at heart because how are people finding this, especially if it's like under a different name and it's fake. Like that's a source coming from within your friend group. It's very sketch.
I'm surprised this went for so long without getting discovered.
If you have true friends around you, then they would keep your secret. But clearly something's going on where one, you know, she's been like caught smoking a couple puffs of a joint at, you know, a music festival. And she's been caught like doing all these things where her friends or people around her, you know, her squad are kind of, you know, talking to the press. And it's just like, dude, what is going on here? I would just get new friends. I would be like, girl, I can't do it. Bye.
I'm not surprised this came out. It is very entertaining. And it's also, I wonder if Donald Trump is going to respond to this.
I mean, I doubt it.
He responds to everything.
No, he has his fans do it. I mean, everyone that is a part of the MAGA squad, they all were on Twitter just going crazy over this news that she was anti-Trump. It's insane to me.
And why is it that surprising?
I don't know.
Once again, I'm not as surprised that she's anti-Trump, more that I think it empowers all of us to continue to love the Obamas even more.
I mean, yeah, it's that, but I also, it's that thing with being a first daughter. Mm. Where there's that pressure that comes with it. And I think people forget that, yeah, even though you were a first daughter at that time, you're still this, you know, young person that's trying to figure out life, and they think you automatically have everything handed to you. Like when her sister Sasha was working on at a restaurant on the pier, and they were all like surprised that she was working a minimum wage job, and they were like, "Well, you're taking jobs away from people that actually need them." No, if you come from a really real black mother, she's like, "I don't care if I have money. You don't have money. I have the money."
Yeah, because you would get criticized. The thing about that is those daughters would get criticized if they were
spoiled brats.
Yeah, were spoiled.
Yeah.
But then when you throw them out there in the wild, they're still criticized.
Exactly, for being normal. And that's what that's really what they are. But I don't know. We'll see more coming out of this story because I feel like her friends will continue to throw her under the bus if there is one.
Joining us in the studio, we've got singer, songwriter, all the way from Australia. Tian is joining us right now. Of course, we met her at Palm Springs Pride, and now she is back with new music and looking as hot as ever.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You got to see her hot shoes also. It's on my IG story.
I mean, but she's pretty, and then she has the accent. I'm just dying. Like, melt me
now.
Oh,
my gosh, guys. I could come in here and hear this every day.
Who needs confidence when you have Let's Go There?
Right? So what have you been up to since Palm Springs Pride?
I've been doing a lot of writing, a lot of recording, a lot of eating. I don't know why I'm at this stage in my life where I can't stop stuffing my face.
That's an incredible stage to be at.
Yes, every day is
I'm
one of those days.
Always there.
Yeah. Basically just planning my EP, which will probably be out next month.
Okay.
So obviously released Ruin It.
Yeah.
There was a lot of build up for that one. So.
And you have Rune It is a song we're about to play a clip of, but the music video is amazing.
Thank you. I mean, took a lot of planning, but it turned out so amazing. I couldn't be happier with it.
Yeah, because it's been 4 years.
Four long years.
So take, okay, before obviously we get into the clip, I want to know why did it take so long?
So I unfortunately was stuck in a deal for nearly 2 years, which happens to so many people.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like I had to start again because I'd lost all my traction, and I lost a lot of the rights to my songs.
Yeah, so wow.
It was kind of it was pretty yucky. So I basically just took my time to start again, and I wanted to make it right and make it really good. And have a lot of control over things.
Yeah,
so.
It's hard enough to be an artist, let alone go through that process. Man.
Yeah.
It's tough. I started work. I mean, it was fine because I was working for a lot of other people, which is fun. I actually really enjoy that. But
Writing?
Yeah, writing. Yeah, yeah. But it was time to turn it back on me.
So let's talk about Runit. Tian right now in the studio. The music video, once again, as I mentioned, is very powerful. You shot it in Calabasas after the fires.
I did, yes. I was a little worried about doing that, but it was so beautiful and eerie.
Why were you worried?
Just because, you know, a respect thing.
Yeah.
But I made sure that it wasn't, you know, where houses
tasteful.
Were. It was tasteful. I want, you know. And the whole thing with Ruin It is kind of the beauty after the destruction.
Okay.
Which, you know, made sense. It just kind of made sense to have that kind of scenery.
And you have the shots from the aerial
the drone shots.
Drone. That's what they're called, the drones.
Yeah. Drone, yeah. We started with that. That was actually the guy wasn't even supposed to come out, and the director was like, "Do you want some drone shots?" I was like, "Is that even a question?"
Like, that should have been, should have led
duh.
With that.
Yeah, come on, man. His friend just rocked up and started shooting with the drone, so it was awesome.
Love it. Well, we have the song right now, a clip from Ruin It with Tian. Let's play it. Yes, that was a clip from Ruin It. We have Tian in the studio, singer-songwriter, joining us. And that was your first single in 4 years.
Yes,
it's amazing. So what does this song represent to you?
It actually started off as a pretty heavy love song.
Yeah.
And then very quickly turned a little raunchy.
Mm.
They all kind of start off as love songs.
That's true.
Yeah.
And who doesn't love a little raunch?
Who doesn't love a little raunch?
Because I think love is raunchy.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
There's nothing really, to be honest, love is, people talk about love being this amazing feeling, but no one talks about how disgusting and annoying it is. No one talks about that.
Oh, I have written quite a few songs like that. I just didn't release them.
Yeah.
I was going to say, have you been to Let's Go There before? Because we definitely have a bit of all of that in here. So what artists inspire you?
I really connect with Sade. I always have. I think I always will. She kind of changed the game, and I love her storytelling and her understated vocals.
Yeah.
As you can probably hear in my music. So
of course you talked about you being stuck in this deal, which, I mean, the anxiety of that anyway.
Torture.
And I think the first thing that pops up in my mind is the artist JoJo.
Yes.
She was stuck in a deal for a very long time, and she honestly gave her, she had to re-record her old music to give back to her fans, and which was a beautiful present. But I think, did that not discourage you of just saying, I don't want to do this anymore, maybe it's not for me?
I mean, honestly, you definitely go through that, and it's really sad because I've always known that I've wanted to do music and be a singer and a performer, so it was a really tough time. But just because you love it so much, you just can't.
Yeah.
You can't give it up.
Yeah. Were there people pushing you to keep going?
Oh, yeah. everyone around me was just like, just wait, you can do it, it's okay. Which thankfully they did, because now I have.
No, seriously.
Now I have, and it feels so good. But I mean, it's really crappy because it happens to so many people. Me being stuck for 2 years is actually not even the longest time. People have been stuck for like 10 years.
And what are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to make money?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah. And it's like, if you don't want to be doing something with them, like, let them go. So what is the point?
When you got into, I guess, that initial contract, because I think that's always the thing, you want to be mindful of what you're signing and who you're signing with.
Yeah.
Are you now looking at it like, because you're independent right now.
Yeah, totally independent.
But if you ever were to go back down that journey, like, what would you be looking out for at this point? And like, how would you, is the trust even there?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The trust is obviously major, but I just have a better understanding of everything. I think that was my issue the first time around, as I was just like head in the clouds, excited, like, oh my gosh, they want to sign me.
Cool. Yeah, right.
Awesome. Sign your life away, and then you're like, oh wait, I can't do anything, I can't say anything, and it's really scary. So I think just having a better understanding. I'm not really interested in being signed. It being an independent artist is hard, but I do have control, so you know.
Tian, again, joining us in studio right now. Check out her new single, Rune It, out right now. And when's an EP out?
Should be out next month.
Okay, and what can people expect?
Just a upgraded version of what I've already released, I'd say.
Yeah.
Very sexy, very chill, intimate. Just me, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Is there anyone, I guess, obviously you said Sade, but is there anyone currently that, I mean, the Grammys were just this past weekend. What were your thoughts about that? Is there anyone that you thought that was like, yes, I'm so happy she won?
I mean, Cardi B, in my eyes, can do no wrong.
Right?
She can do no wrong.
Yeah.
I adore her. I'm obsessed. I want to be her. I'm not going to lie.
I mean...
She's also becoming a news reporter these days.
That's true.
She's like a news commentator. I swear. We love her comments on what's happening. We play them all the time.
Seriously.
Cardi B 2020.
I'm obsessed.
I'm saying it now.
Honestly.
It's happening. I'm her campaign manager. You're welcome.
I'm going to jump on board with you.
Tian, thank you so much again for joining us. Where can people find you?
Spotify, all platforms. My Instagram is Tian Official, and it should be that on everything.
TIAAN.
That's it. I wanted someone to spell it because I was like, this.
TIAAN.
Exactly. This is important, and this music is so good. I'm really excited for what's to come.
Hopefully, we can play it more on Channel Q. Thanks for being here and stopping by.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's right. We're Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on the radio and radio.com. So, during an all new Steve, you know, that's the talk show Steve Harvey has, he invited his longtime friend on to address some of the many headlines that she has been facing in recent years. The guest was Monique. She claims that she was blackballed by Hollywood after she refused to do a few things to campaign for her Oscar-winning film Precious without additional pay. So she spoke out about that. And she got labeled as difficult because, and this is from her, I said one word and that was no. I said no to some very powerful people. I said no to Oprah Winfrey. I said no to Tyler Perry. I said no to Lee Daniels, and I said no to Lionsgate. So the part, though, that people are talking about, because this isn't the first time that she's talked about being blackballed, is this heated moment between Monique and Steve on the show.
This the money game. This ain't the black man's game. This ain't the white man's game.
It's
this
the money game.
But we in the money game. And you cannot sacrifice yourself. The best thing you can do for poor people is not be one of them. You cannot help them.
We're in the money game. But let me tell you what the game is before the money game. Before the money game, it's called the integrity game. And we've lost the integrity worrying about the money.
But Mo,
wait a minute.
If I crumble,
if you
my children crumble, my grandchildren crumble. I cannot, for the sake of my integrity, stand up here and let everybody that's counting on me crumble so I can make a statement. There are ways to win the war in a different way.
Okay, that was a very heated debate between Steve Harvey and Monique on his show. So it brings up the question, is money more important than integrity? If you want to be involved in this conversation, you definitely can. Give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. So, Ryan.
Yeah.
I know that you brought this story up last week.
Yeah.
It brought it to our attention. What are your thoughts?
I think I see both sides. I think integrity is very important, but I also understand, as a person of color in entertainment and in this space, that it's all strategy, it's all a game. You have to know how to work it. And if you ever want to call up upon a huge issue where you're taking down huge people that are already very powerful in this industry, there needs to be a strategy on how you're doing it. The way she's done, because I've kept up with this story, the way she has, you know, negatively came at Oprah and Lee Daniels and all these heavyweight, like Lionsgate, she kind of ruined herself in some sense. I think it's important to talk about it, but I think it's always important on how you're delivering the message. And I said this all the time, and I don't think there's, I think unfortunately it does suck, because sometimes politics can, you know, damage the career that someone very special should have, as like Monique. She's a talented comedian and actress, and she was very successful at one point in time, but after this entire thing, I mean, she's won an Emmy for this role. Like, she should have had a very long career.
It doesn't mean it's over right now.
No, I mean, it kind of does in some way. I think she's had moments where she's tried to come back into the picture of like relevancy, and especially with this new Netflix thing, it's kind of like she's now known as the girl that's always either boycotting someone or is like being super negative. And what Steve was saying is, unfortunately, he was saying, well, you have to play the game. You have to know how it is. But having said that, I am not just going to take anybody's money, because I'm integrity, especially karma. I believe in that it's very real. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just take anyone's check because I need a check. I'm not just going to do anything that someone wants me to do. I'm not going to be something that just someone wants me to do and they're promising me a heavy paycheck. I have to worry about, and I have to be able to rest my soul at night to be like, I think I made a good decision, and keep my soul intact, because Hollywood and entertainment is a very dirty place. It can mess you up. So it's like, I see both sides, but I most definitely really most lean towards Monique, what she's saying, and integrity, because she was blackballed and it sucks.
And she's speaking out about it. It's like, what else is she supposed to do at this point? I mean, it's hard when you do drag some huge players.
Yeah.
What do you expect when they've given you opportunities and there's that line between gratitude, right? And then asking for what you think you deserve. And that line of how much do you do behind the scenes, and then how much do you bring in front of everyone else?
Yeah.
You air out your dirty laundry.
And that's the thing. Like, you can't just, like, I think there's some things that you have to handle privately, but I think she felt, and because she's also a comedian, she included a lot of this in her set, where she was, you know, telling, you know, Oprah that they can suck her D, and it was just like, you can't say things like that. That's like ridiculous. Like, you can't, you can get across your message of saying, guess what, I'm not going to let you walk over me, while still being respectful in some way.
And there's also a difference between bringing it up once in an interview.
Yeah.
This is an intimate, exclusive interview.
Yeah.
I brought it up once, and then this becoming your identity and your story.
Yeah, because unfortunately it sucks that, you know, Monique is being said that she is, you know, I think it's something that I've talked about on the show, where it's like, people of color are often afraid to voice their opinions because they'll be looked at as difficult to work with, or, you know, they're bougie, or all these things. And it's, a lot of times people silence ourselves, and the fact that Monique didn't silence herself, and the fact that she did get the results that a lot of people of color are afraid of, is the reason why people like Steve Harvey exist, because they're like, guess what? And also, you have to think about this. Steve Harvey has a daytime talk show, and it's been on for multiple seasons. White people love him. Like, he's not going anywhere.
Well, not just the talk show. He's on the airwaves and shooting something at every minute of his life.
Exactly. He has more money. He doesn't have to worry about being broke.
Exactly.
Ever. And that's what Monique has to worry about. And I think that whole clip, and hearing that and watching it, was so uncomfortable to see him being a man trying to silence her, and her not even having the opportunity to speak about, especially taking away the color aspect of it, a woman in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was kind of wanting to know your perspective on this whole entire thing.
Yeah, and I was going to go to a lot of the responses on social media around that. One person said, Steve Harvey is a coward. I'm disgusted. Monique sat up there and championed integrity, and he argued integrity for money, and people applauded. Y'all go give Monique your love.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to more of those social media responses, and also I'll give my thoughts after this. Our Let's Go There topic of the day continues. How far will you go, and how much will you sacrifice for money? That's coming up. Now, Steve Harvey and Monique had a heated conversation, or I would say debate slash argument, about money and integrity. And it's our Let's Go There topic of the day. Let's play the clip.
This the money game. This ain't the black man's game. This ain't the white man's game.
It's
this
the money game.
We in the money game. And you cannot sacrifice yourself. The best thing you can do for poor people is not be one of them. You cannot help them.
We're in the money game. But let me tell you what the game is before the money game. Like this. Before the money game, it's called the integrity game. And we've lost the integrity worrying about the money.
But Mo,
wait a minute.
If I crumble,
if you
my children crumble, my grandchildren crumble, I cannot, for the sake of my integrity, stand up here and let everybody that's counting on me crumble so I can make a statement. There are ways to win the war in a different way.
Okay, that was Steve Harvey basically saying that, you know, I think he made it clear, and he is very successful. He's on a bunch of shows. He basically owns TV right now.
Yeah,
and
kinda, because once you obviously get to that, there's a plot twist that no one really knows just yet.
Okay.
Well, kinda knows.
What?
People have been talking about it. That apparently his show actually just got canceled and the Kelly Clarkson new daytime talk show is replacing it.
Who I met one of her dancers, I think it was one of her, someone that was on, or yeah, backup singer actually at a party. And, and it was when they were piloting that show. So it got picked
up. Well, it's very interesting. He's talking about, you know, you have to kind of play this game and it's all about money. And literally NBC didn't even tell him that his show was being replaced and he found out.
Oh my God.
And so, plot was there, karma. Well, that's what I'm talking. Karma's real.
Well, so that's the thing, is like you could have a really good period of time where you're making a ton of money, you're on your game, and then something happens.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that word, the S word, goes down, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's where it goes back to what are you like inside?
Right.
You know, what does your life really mean to you? And like, what are you going to represent to others? And I think what Monique was trying to take a stand for is she was representing her story, but the story of a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
in terms of not being paid enough, whether it be because she's a person of color or because she's a woman or because of where she's at in her career. And she was going to take a stand publicly for that. And he basically made the argument of, what's the point of taking a stand publicly if that's going to drag you and you're not going to get what you want?
Yeah.
What are you fighting for?
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm fighting for my integrity. What do you stand for?
Which I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know. I think, here's the thing. I'm thinking of it from another perspective as well. So I'm thinking of it, if you are, you know, something that Steve Harvey hasn't really felt in a very long time, when you are living in this world of financial instability, and you're looking to just make it to your next thing, and you're looking to be like, oh my God, they're offering me a huge paycheck. This will, you know, help me get past this, where the next time something like this happens, I can actually stand firmly in my integrity. But even then, what does that mean? Are you not living in your integrity because you're trying to get over this hump of feeling like you're just always broke?
It's the scarcity versus abundance perspective.
Scarcity.
But it seems like Steve Harvey needed some humble pie.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Steve Harvey, first of all, Steve Harvey has been canceled ever since he met with Donald Trump that one time at Trump Towers. Like, he's been very canceled for me in a very long time. Like, he said a lot of problematic things, especially how he believes in how women should be treated. And it's very, like, how they need to be there for their husbands and in ways of like very Old Testament Bible stuff. It's like very,
he's very religious. I've seen him preach.
Yeah,
I was there in person once when he preached.
I'm telling you, he has just a weird dynamic when it comes to women standing up for themselves, and I feel like he really showed that in this clip.
That's the thing. Whether you agree with Monique or Steve Harvey, I see each argument had, you know, something
right,
that I agreed
same,
with.
Yeah.
What I didn't agree with him is how he lacked empathy and compassion to really hear her out.
Yeah.
And really put himself in her position.
Yeah, if you're going to invite me on your show, allow me to actually speak. What you literally invited me on, and you could have just kept it to a phone call if that's all you wanted to do was hear yourself talk. But the fact that you didn't even allow her to speak is what was so gross to me. That mansplaining idea is just disgusting.
Okay, well, that was our Let's Go There topic of the day. And coming up, we dive more into some heated convo. Our cue of the day, our question of the day, whose side are you on? Do you believe Jussie Smollett as the victim or that he staged his own attack? You can give us a call right now, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-7222. 2557. Now here's what's trending in the news right now relating to the Jussie Smollett investigation. According to TMZ, Jussie Smollett rehearsed the attack against him days before the incident, and it was all staged for the camera. This is on TMZ, but according to what the two brothers told cops. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ, Abel and Ola Asundero told cops they got in a car with Jussie and scouted a location, settling on the one right outside the actor's apartment. The brothers said Jussie chose a spot because he believed a camera would have captured the action. But when the cops arrived, Jussie took them down to the area he said the attack went down and pointed to the camera, saying it was where the incident was captured on video. What he didn't know was that the camera was pointed in the wrong direction and didn't capture the incident. And as we see, the rest is history right now.
Yeah.
So now that's a perfect time to get into our cue of the day, our question of the day. Whose side are you on? Do you believe Jussie as the victim or that he staged his own attack? Again, we want to hear from you. You can give us a call right now, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. Whoa, this is a heavy one.
I feel like we've been on the most like hectic roller coaster, and I feel like I'm going to vomit.
I'm sorry. Well, that's because it's real and it's raw and it's happening and we're in it. We're in the trenches of it right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also because this is something that, as someone who's a person of color and part of the queer community, has impacted you a lot.
Yeah.
Because it could have been you.
Yeah, for
meaning,
sure.
So then it's hard to distinguish between now we want to believe the victim and because these types of things happen all the time.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where I took all weekend. Everyone was texting me about this, especially what my thoughts were, especially when all the reports came out that it could have possibly been staged. And I just didn't have anything to say. I think it's one of those things where, and all these sources and allegedly, and nothing's been confirmed, and then the muddy waters of what the Chicago Police Department already is, I'm always going to believe the victim anyway. Like, until there is concrete information and evidence, there's no way I'm going to not stand firmly behind this, because like I've said and will continuously say, there are plenty of LGBTQ people, also especially trans people of trans women that are people of color and all these things. They have experienced this dead on and are experiencing this. So this is not something that I want to act like, oh, well, if, you know, if this all is a lie, that this means it never happens. That's not true and that's false. I think if Jussie did do it, he needs to seek help and he needs to he needs to be held accountable.
So innocent till proven guilty.
For sure.
Of course, people fought that on the other side for Brett Kavanaugh. Meaning, I don't know what to bring. Well, you know what I mean? It's this idea. But the left and the right, but the left and the right use targets, right? So Jussie Smollett right now, but meaning people fought that. And I feel like people are using this as an example, like, oh, these things don't, they're using an example of that these things don't happen. It's allowing racism and homophobia to propagate.
Well, I think the difference in the case of Brett Kavanaugh,
well, yeah, that's a whole other
is
thing.
That woman actually remembered vivid details and took like a lie detector test and all these different things. So I don't know if the two really compare.
But meaning it's this idea of innocent until proven guilty, and either side will use it against each other when they're on that side. You know what, like,
I think it has been politicized where the right has saying like, oh, well, the left is making doing everything they can to make up hate crimes, but that's not they're acting like, because Jussie Smollett, if this was made up, they're acting like this doesn't happen. Like, it's not, unfortunately, even for rape victims and survivors, that stuff happens on a daily basis, but no one was ever saying that was not a possibility. I think believing, especially with the LGBTQ community and being a marginalized group, there's people that already feel like, oh, well, racism and homophobia don't exist anymore. Yeah. It's 2019.
What are some people saying on social media, Ryan?
So someone said, innocent until proven guilty. There's not enough evidence seen by the public as of yet to prove Jussie lied, and I will always believe a victim until proven otherwise. If we assume victims of hate crimes lie, it only gives power to those who oppose. Joe says, well, Fox so far only renewed their... oh, my God. I'll come back to that one.
I'm happy you're laughing at this. I wanted a laugh out of Ryan. Like, this has been a heavy day.
It's Shane said, I'm on the side of the truth. Facts in this case point to it's a complete hoax. Mm. Camden said, staged, rehearsed, sad.
We are continuing with our cue of the day. Do you agree with the accusations against Jussie Smollett planning the attack? Joining us to give a look at the psychology behind a possible action like this, we've got Dr. Scott Musgrove, host of the Forensic Psychology and True Crime podcast, LA Not So Confidential. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be a part of this. It's a fascinating event going on.
Definitely. So after hearing this story and now all this evidence coming out trying to prove that Jussie orchestrated this attack, what would be the possible motive behind it all? It really seems for us hard to understand if he did do it. Why?
Yeah, and let's keep it in hypothetical because
yes.
This is an allegation.
For
and,
sure.
You know, yeah, it's always important to let things unfold as they unfold and everybody get, you know, their best representation from the legal system. Mm-hmm. So that being said, look, you know, entertainment continues to evolve very rapidly. And I think that plays a big part in motivation for events like this, you know, if we're surmising that Jussie would have orchestrated this. So, you know, we live in a time now where in order to stay relevant as an actor, mm-hmm. as a performer, you have to have a social media presence. And whenever that, I mean, it's no longer just a matter of having some credits on your resume and having an 8x10 glossy. It's a matter of, how many Instagram followers do you have? What's your Twitter feed like? And, you know, I think that can contribute to it. But one of the underlying issues would be a need for attention or a need to remain relevant. You know, if we take it really far, you can think of extreme examples like Munchausen by proxy syndrome, where a parent will induce illness in their child in order to maintain, in order to generate sympathy from the community.
Oh, wow.
I think also, I mean, there are some famous cases about that, but the one that comes up for me that is sort of aligned with his allegations, that back in 2010, there was a young woman, a Bethany Storo, I believe, and she told the police that she had been attacked by an African-American woman who came up to her and threw acid in her face. And it was later discovered that she had orchestrated the whole thing. She had literally thrown acid on her own face. And it was in order to get sympathy from the community and get money and get attention. And, you know, she was sort of the darling of the community there for a while. And then it came out that this was just a bid for attention.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy that to go that far, to do that for attention or social media or fame. Definitely.
Yeah, and once again, it's that idea of I have to stay relevant. And the sad thing about these particular allegations is, you know, we live in a really tumultuous time where the issues of gender and sexuality and race are so relevant to our discourse, and people are really becoming divided about it. And if this is what it looks like it's going to turn out to be, you know, that doesn't help the LGBT community at all. It really doesn't.
Yeah, and I understand the social media aspect that you're speaking of course, because social media can be that, especially everyone wants the attention of the gratification of everything.
Right.
But I don't know. I think Jussie was well known, and also he comes from a family of activists. So it's strange to me. But I want to know kind of what do you think this is going to do for victims? Because a lot of times I think, and how I'm seeing this situation is like I'm obviously going to believe until, you know, there is concrete proof that it was done otherwise, and I'm firmly believing in victims going forth. But let's talk about the mindset of a lot of victims that especially go through this, because this is not one-off moment. This happens to everyday people. What do you think this is going to scare them from speaking up?
I would hope not, but I think you bring up a really good point that it certainly doesn't help create an environment where people can feel comfortable coming forward if they've been victimized, if they've been legitimately victimized. But it's so important, regardless of what the atmosphere is or support or lack of support, that victims need to keep coming forward. We need to keep a spotlight on these issues. I mean, the hate crimes against the LGBT community in the past 18 months have spiked precipitously and in a frightening way. And we can't let this particular incident, whatever, however it turns out, end up being something that silences victims. I just want to point out, I think that it has so much to do contextually with what is going on right now in the political spectrum. We just had the students at the Washington protests from the Catholic school with the MAGA hat.
Yeah.
That was like an onion that just kept peeling away layers. Right. And I don't think that's done. I don't think that we're done there at all. And it's not a black and white issue. It's going to be very complex. This one sounds pretty, with Mr. Smollett, this sounds like it's going to be a little bit more concrete, a little bit more black and white. But I would really hope that victims will feel comfortable coming out or finding a way to get their needs met by going through the proper channels, and also not waiting. Do it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't. That's the thing that worries me, is these two events back to back really don't create a great environment for victims to feel comfortable coming forward.
Definitely. Well, thank you for joining us and giving us that side of the story from the psychology angle. We hope things will be more black and white, because right now it just seems like there's a lot of gray area. So let's hope for some more clear answers in the future. Scott Musgrove, again, check out his true crime podcast, LA Not So Confidential. Dr. Chris from Loveline is in the building right now. Happy Monday.
What's up, guys?
You know, it's getting messy here. I mean, there's a lot of, confusion in terms of what we're supposed to believe from the Jussie Smollett case.
Yes.
And I know you've been posting about it a lot on social media. Dr. Chris, our cue of the day, our question of the day is, whose side are you on? Do you believe Jussie as the victim, or that he staged his own attack? What is your take?
So my take is going to be taking either position. So I'm on the side of victims. I'm a victims' rights advocate, and I work with them in my office, people that are assaulted sexually, physically, acts of homophobia, racism. We can't go on social media at all today without being buried in videos of people harassing people because of their sexual orientation or their race. So I'm on that side, and I just want to remind people, and I'll be talking about this more on Loveline later tonight, but the amount of hoaxes or false reports are about 2 to 8%. And so I think the question should be, yeah, this is going to work against people being believed or feeling comfortable coming forward. And that's where the conversation should go. What can we do to continue to support people that don't feel safe coming forward because they're not believed? And this is going to kind of fuel that.
But you know, the public loves a good true crime case, right?
Sure do.
So this feels,
I do as well.
Exactly.
I love watching those crime shows.
So how are we supposed to have those conversations, those deeper conversations, when, guess what? It is entertaining to most people, the average public, to be seeing all this unfold and to be guessing and making theories as to what actually happened.
It's a good story. And every time I hear an update or a new component, it's a really meaty, interesting story. But my position still, working in the mental health field, is that I will always believe a victim when they come forward until I have absolute proof that I can't.
And to be honest, the people that really, if they really are looking at this from an entertainment perspective, they probably are also thinking, coming from this situation from a sense of privilege that they've never had to experience being discriminated or, you know, a fear of walking down the street to getting their ass whooped. So it's kind of,
well,
one of those things.
Absolutely. You know, again, like I've said before, if I'm with someone of the same gender and I want to hold their hand or give them a kiss, I do have to assess the safety of the environment I'm in, and am I in the mood to deal with someone shouting something? And we live in a culture that continues to act out in terms of racism and homophobia, and hate crimes are on the rise. We're at the highest rate we've had in over a decade. So we need to not let this one person's story, whether true or false, move us away from still continuing to believe victims when they come forward, whether it's females in the Me Too movement,
et
cetera, et cetera.
That's the only thing that kind of scares me, especially if this does come out to be kind of like a hoax, as everyone's kind of quoting it to be, is like, what do you think this is going to do for the movement moving forward of LGBTQ plus rights?
It weakens it. And if it does come out to be a hoax and that's proven to be a fact, it will hurt my heart that Jussie was willing to be a part of that. That'll be very unfortunate.
Especially when there's trans women of color dying.
Absolutely.
At the same kind of thing.
But also I want to weigh in there that, you know, the Chicago Police Department is known as having been corrupt. Mm-hmm. And people of color, trans individuals, sex workers, these are people that often aren't believed and aren't supported. And so I want them to still feel safe coming forward. A lot of them don't because of that. But
so I guess, and we've been discussing this, I would say, in between breaks. What are your theories? All right. So say we believe the victim. Let's just put this off the top. We believe the victim. Everything's a report right now. There's nothing that has been proven completely valid, right? Because it's a lot of unnamed witnesses or reports from anonymous people in the, at the police department.
Right.
What do you think actually happened then? Where are these brothers coming from? Can we say what we're... Ryan, do you have any thoughts where these brothers came from?
I don't have any thoughts, to be honest. I'm kind of, how can I say this while still being cute and nice? I'm kind of over it. I'm kind of honestly done, especially with, obviously, I've spoken on and I've been speaking about it. I'm just wanting to know the truth at this point. I think regardless of really what's going on and what are the theories of, like, because I feel like we could obviously go into that way. And there are these theories of, like, where are these men? Like, where did these men come from? And, like, was the original letter that the, you know, the studio got, was it actually, like, a part of this whole thing? Or what, like, what is actually happening? But I think the bigger picture of this is honestly just waiting for the truth and waiting to, at the end of the day, believe that this is possible, that this can happen. And
it's
because
totally possible.
Yeah, and I think
it's always happening.
And I think that's the thing that I feel like a lot of people, especially with the responses that I have been getting on social media, where people are like saying, oh, well, what do you have to say now, Ryan? Or like all of these things where they're kind of having this I told you so mentality. And it's just like, well, is that making you feel better? Does that make you feel like, oh, I got this one right, so I'm just going to, you know, troll someone else that was actually said, hey, despite everything, I'm still going to believe him. And guess what? Despite everything, I still will believe him.
And I don't know. I don't know anyone who's of any kind of minority status who hasn't been touched by these kind of scenarios. I've had them happen.
Yeah.
I've been discriminated against for different forms of my identity. So, like, that's real. And so if it comes out as a hoax, we'll hold him accountable, but the conversation will continue that we still need to dismantle these systems and that this still happens to many people. And around the world, people are still being murdered and put in jail for being the race they are, the sexual orientation they have. So that's the conversation.
So I guess what can be done with that said, with all these people on the other side that are going to use this against the movement?
Well, again, it's their racism and their homophobia or their sexism. And us of minority status have to continue to push back.
Yeah, totally.
And I think continue to talk about this story and report on it. And we will be continuing to talk about this story on Let's Go There throughout the week as more is revealed. It was President's Day today, so a lot was put on pause because, we all know, and we reported about this, how his lawyer said that he wasn't going to talk to the police department. A lot of people are saying he didn't want to talk to them again.
Well, let's also remember that the police department isn't the final arbiter of justice or injustice, and we keep putting it on them to get to the source of everything. And so they're not always the most reliable. I'm not saying I'm anti all that, but I'm just saying let's be cautious that prosecutors and them are not always on the side of truth and justice.
Yeah.
They're on the side of catching someone.
That's the real theories. If we really want to get into theories, I want to get into the theory of what is going on over there. Like these chatty Cathys coming out of this police department out of nowhere. I want to see that same energy when there's the next police brutality case, because unfortunately they're probably
because right, right now it's gossip, right?
So let's go to the to social media, because I know we got some responses for our cue of the day.
We sure did. Let's read a couple more. Doug says, starting to look more and more like it was staged, but no judgment until it's proven. Really more concerned about the state of our government right now.
It's not one or the other, by the way.
I mean, no,
there's a lot of things happening in this country at once.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of people are saying it looks staged. I don't. Juan says, I don't know. Doesn't look like he told the truth. There's just so much happening, and no one really knows where to go from here. But I hope this show today has been helpful to at least maybe help you pick a side, or if there even needs to be one.
Yeah, or to be more informed about why maybe there's no side to pick, and why he deserves to be heard as a victim, and we should wait until the facts come out. Dr. Chris Donahue, thank you so much for joining us. Again, you can listen to Dr. Chris on Loveline, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, right after our show. It's our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen!
Were you watching SNL this weekend?
No, because I don't watch it. I don't think it's funny, but this is a good moment.
I think most of us don't watch it live, but we tend to watch it from the viral clips and moments afterwards on social media.
Yeah.
Well, this was a viral moment that definitely was a powerful one and something that we want to talk about.
For sure.
Yaz Queen to SNL, but specifically to Don Cheadle, who wore a Protect Trans Kids t-shirt on SNL. So he used his platform hosting SNL to show his solidarity with transgender kids, which is amazing. And he did it quietly in a segment near the end of the show as he introduced musical guest Larry Clark Jr. Cheadle was seen wearing a t-shirt bearing the slogan Protect Trans Kids,
which is wonderful. And I think that is honestly how you use your platform. What, no matter what it is, and it's as subtle as it is, I think that's what is most powerful about it.
Yeah. And he didn't reference the message. He just stood there with his arms behind his back so it could be read. And that was enough to, you know, cause people to pay attention.
Yeah, he did that actually a couple times, not with only with this shirt, but he also wore a shirt that insinuated with the whole Trump and Russia thing. It was very subtle. Like, a lot of those moments were just very subtle, which I love.
Yeah, I wonder where those t-shirts are from, if it was from one company, or we should look it up.
I don't know. I think the one thing I did take away from this, because I saw everyone reposting it, like a lot of celebrities were like, oh, I stan Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
But honestly, to bring that question back to them, what are you actually doing for trans kids besides reposting this photo?
Yeah, this seems to be more of an action. And with such a huge audience that SNL has, including from the mainstream, I think it's important, because it did probably bring up the conversation, why should we protect trans kids? Why is this an important issue? Fans on Twitter were very moved by the gesture. One response said, as a parent of a transgender person, I was grateful and gratified to see Don Cheadle make a short-sleeved statement on last night's SNL. Thank you. Someone else said, my brother is trans. What my brother endures and never complains about, what would surprise anyone. I'm proud of him and allies like Don Cheadle. Thank you for not forgetting them. Equality should be a human right. And then another fan wrote, thank you, Don Cheadle, for using your platform to help save lives.
See, that it's beautiful. And that's the thing. Once you do something incredible like that and you actually use your platform, imagine how many lives you're touching. And just by him wearing a simple t-shirt, so many lives are changed and felt represented.
Yeah,
so.
And you could just Google, to be honest, Protect Trans Kids t-shirt, and you can find a bunch of them that you could buy if you want to make a statement as well in your community.
Or if you don't have any like money like that to buy a t-shirt, just go to your local Joann's. And get you a shirt and just get you some letters, and there you go.
Yeah, it's that easy.
Yeah.
Do it DIY style.
Basically.
Why not? So Yaz Queen to Don Cheadle, and also to SNL for, you know, allowing him to do that as well. Because they probably knew that it was happening, it doesn't even matter if they knew or not. It's important that he did it.
Yeah.
All right, we will be back tomorrow on the show. Let's Go There with Chi and Ryan, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. We have Hear Me Out Tuesdays. We're going to be joined by our favorite relationship therapist to help us figure out why we might be feeling lonely,
especially after Valentine's Day. Honey, I can't stop eating chocolate.
Really?
Yeah, because it's cheap, and I just want to binge all my fillings in chocolate.
And I
Thanks.
Know, yeah. Please explain more. I know Vanessa was feeling very lonely this weekend, weren't you, Vanessa?
Well, put her out on Front Street.
Yes. At least turn on your microphone.
I don't know. I had no one to call. Valentine's Day was called over.
Me.
I know, but I felt like everyone was doing their thing and I didn't want to bother them. Anyways, we'll talk to Hear Me Out.
Come
on. Make me feel better.
Listen, to all of you lonely folks out there.
Because you're not lonely at all.
No, you're not alone.
You're like, I don't know her. I don't know who lonely is.
No, I do. You're not alone, though. We can all be lonely together. And that means we're non-lonely.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's Go There tomorrow. Stay tuned, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on Channel Q. We're sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay, because I'm single and just looking.
Have a great night. Love line after this.
Bye.